I was thinking about doing Low Rider by War.
Hey, welcome back to the Grace Youth Podcast.
Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yeah, it's Grace Youth Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Youth Podcast. I'm super excited to be bringing this to you. I'm your host, Thomas McCarrick, and I just want to let you know the reason why we're starting this is because of our past Q&As. We realized how many questions we are not able to answer, and so I wanted to bring this podcast to you guys to get a better time to jump into these questions and to help you understand, and you can ask these questions, and we'll try to answer these on the podcast. But so with that, let's jump into our first podcast.
Bill Hawthorne is calling me right now.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
So our first guest actually is none other than the high school pastor,
yeah.
Joe Lamon.
Hello, everyone. Good to be seen by you all.
So excited to have Joe on. Joe has been a huge mentor in my life. My last 2 years of high school ministry, or being in the high school ministry, so junior and senior year, Joe came in as the youth pastor, and just the ways that he spoke into my life and has been speaking into your guys' lives now, just a total huge influence on my life. So how have you been, Joe?
Doing well, doing well. We just got back from a Youth Workers Refresh Conference in Columbus.
What a blast.
Yeah, that was a lot of laughing. It's always a good time with our team and stuff. So yeah. I was more tired than I was refreshed because I stayed up too late with all of you people too many times. So, yeah. But it was super fun, man.
The last night I was like, I went back to the hotel room and no one was in my room. Danny was in my room, basically. But I laid down on the bed. I'm just like, it was 9:30. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go to bed now. What's the point of staying up a little longer, wait to play video games with somebody? I'm just like, nah, let's just go to bed. So
yeah, the one night I was up with Caleb G till 1:15. I was like, what am I doing right now? But it was good. I missed Caleb.
Yeah, I missed that guy too. It was good to see him. Dude, big event coming up. We got the winter retreat. We're almost 2 weeks away right now. We don't know where you're at right now when you're listening to this, but I'm super excited for it. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, retreats, camps, conferences, those things were super formative in my journey. If you know my testimony, which I've shared to our students a bazillion times, I got saved at a camp. And so winter retreat is basically winter camp,
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to be incredible. It always is. And God always just does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask and imagine.
Sure.
at these places when we just consecrate time to be with them. So I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think as that winter retreats have gone, it's we always had the expectation Saturday night is when God's going to come into the room. But actually recently I've noticed that God's he's encountering us Friday night. And then he's there Saturday morning, then he's there Saturday night, and then he's there Sunday morning. I'm just he's here every time because we have the expectation. Mm-hmm. And just I'm just super excited for this one. I think this is going to be my ninth year in a row going. It's I can't get away from this place. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Wish the beds were a little better, but we're out here sacrificing right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, and I think it's that was a big part of some of the mentality, I think, when I first got to this particular student ministry, that God shows up on Saturday nights. And I think we've learned throughout the last few years, just know God is God.
Yeah.
He doesn't need, whatever your expectations and limits are on him are. He'll show up when he wants to. And
yeah,
so
for sure.
I think there's just a hunger, an expectation, a need, and a desire every time we get a big group of people to just go seek him. And so, yeah, he's been just, faithful and blowing our minds every year
with
the stuff that he's digging up and turning around and transforming. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome.
I'm so excited. Worship's always just a total blast too.
Yeah.
So just a little icebreaker, Joe, and so then the viewers and myself can get to know you a little bit better. I don't think I've ever asked you this question before, but what was the first job you've ever had? Not mowing your neighbor's yard or anything, but actual income in your bank account.
Yeah, the first job I ever had, I graduated high school. This is how I remember it. So if the details are off, then it's like, it's not intentional. Like, but this is pretty much how I remember it. I graduated high school. I was in one of those unique situations where, because I was so involved in athletics, that my mom and dad didn't really ask me to or want me to get a job while I was in high school. They just was like, were like, you know, focus on sports and your academic career. And then, so, you know, that was my norm, which I see all these high school kids working like hard in our youth group and stuff. And I'm like, man, like that's awesome. I kind of wish I would have had that a little earlier, you know? And, I graduated high school. I slept in the day after I graduated high school, and this is how I remember it. So maybe the details are wrong, but I just remember it was either that first day or that week. My mom was like, "Hey, it's time for you to go get a job." And I was like, yeah, yeah, it is. And so she knew like the next like semester coming around, like I was going to go to college and whatnot. And, but she was like, it's, you need to go get a job, you know? And so my sister actually had an interview at this place called AmeriCorps. It was kind of like an off branch, if I'm remembering correctly, of like the Peace Corps, not quite at that level, where you were going to work with like at risk youth and just do a various like variety of different things. And it wasn't actually like a good paying job. You were making less than minimum wage even back then. But the big like gift after it was like a $2,500 scholarship to college. And so you had to put in a year with them. And so she went to that interview. They were hiring like 20 people. I went, I was 18. I probably like fudged my way through the interview, like, you know, like way less qualified than my sister was at that time. She was 4 years older than me, like about to graduate college. Maybe she did graduate college, but I got hired too. And so I ended up doing things like tutoring students in like local school systems, being a part of like community outreach development programs, after school programs with students and things like that. I was just a gift of grace, because maturity wise, I don't think I was there, you know, but God gave me the opportunity, because he knew that I needed to do what my mom said, go get a job, you know? So,
dude, I wasn't expecting that to be your first job. I was expecting like McDonald's or something like that to be your first job.
No, I only worked in the restaurant business for 3 months. I was a server at an Italian restaurant with like three of my closest friends at the time. It was so fun.
I'm sure it was.
It was a blast, bro. We just hung out all the time and ate breadsticks.
Very nice.
Or dinner rolls, you know?
Did you gain a lot of weight when you were working there?
No, I had metabolism back then.
All right. Second question for an icebreaker is, what is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you?
I feel like my life has so many of these. Like, I don't know how you even pinpoint like one. Recently, David tracked down a ton of my old Facebook stuff. Jerk.
Dude, you're so embarrassed. Some of those things were pretty embarrassing. Well,
yeah, I feel like I'm not one of those people who does get easily embarrassed. Like, you have to find the right thing, and like that was like one of the right things. And I was like, dude, I can't stand you, bro.
But you ended up persuading David to delete it by going to Waffle House with him.
Yeah, I did. I think I look back at like just some of the stuff that I just have done throughout the years, and I'm just like, dude, why were you the way you were? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's really hard for me to answer that question, believe it or not. That's like way harder than the first one, because I don't know. I've just done so many embarrassing things. I'll just hit you with like the first thing that pops out to my mind. We were playing this game at our last youth group. I don't know that it should have been entitled this, but we played this game called Murder in the Dark.
Okay.
And you had like, we blacked out the whole like church. We turned off all the lights. We put on like creepy music. It was like something we did like twice a year as a part of like a game night, you know?
Yeah.
And we would all start in the church cafe, and then we would disperse, and then you'd have to like walk up from like behind somebody and put your hand up real quick. You'd have to like get your hand around their wrist, and that meant they died. So like the two murderers would sneak up. And so I was like, everybody on your mark, get set, go. And I ran, and I went to jump over this chair, and the rug slid out. And so I just jumped into this chair and just totally wiped out in front of everyone. And I was just laying on the ground like this. And so that was pretty, I laughed more than I was embarrassed, but for the sake of not being able to think of something funnier at the moment, that's the thing that comes to my mind. I always get hurt on youth trips, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I've like blown out my ankles, tore tendons in my foot. Like one year I'm pretty convinced that I like just about broke my toe on somebody's heel in the ocean, which makes no sense. So I just have a lot of stupid stuff happen, you know? So yeah.
Got great stories. That's hilarious. I can envision you just totally like crashing in the chairs. All right. It's time for our question here. The question is, how can I ask God to test my faith? I'm going to set it up a little bit. So let's say I'll give a perspective. I'll be the student that's asking this question. And I've never really had anything bad happen to me. And I don't understand fully if I have a strong faith. And so I want to know, like, I want to have the perspective of what other people are going through. I know like my friends around me are going through hard times and I just don't fully understand. And so I want God to do this so then I can understand what they're going through. And so how can I ask God to test my faith in that way?
Thanks for bringing me here so you can answer this question for me, because I want to know the answer. No. Well, first off, I think the first thing I'd like to say is like, what an awesome heart from this student, whoever you are, who asked this question. I mean, I know that you work more with middle schoolers, so you know, good chance that this is one of our middle school students. And so, like, that's just, I mean, for a middle school to pray that, like, or to say that thing, or like to like want to lean into that prayerfully, I think it's just really powerful.
For sure.
And in general, I think I do think it's a really layered, like in like a pretty like nuanced question. And so maybe I want to talk a little bit about like some of the verbiage of it. How do I test? I'm a big words person. So how do I test my faith? You know, I was reading in Job today. It actually lined up perfectly well. Like my Bible plan right now is Job. And then we're doing this like first podcast. And when you're reading in Job, the heavenly court, the angelic court comes before God, and God asks the Satan figure. He says, like, yo, what are you doing, man? Like, what's going on? And he's basically like, oh, just roaming the earth, like from here to there, just checking things out.
Yeah.
God asks him, like, have you considered my servant Job? And he's like, yeah, I have. And God's like, he's awesome. There's nobody like him. Like he loves me. He's devoted to me. This is obviously like Joe paraphrase version of the text.
Yeah.
The Satan figure pretty much like hits God with like, yeah, it's because you give him everything. Like his life's awesome. Like he has this perfect life. So, duh.
Yeah.
He's going to worship you.
Right.
And God basically, long story short, gives the accuser the ability to attack everything in Job, but not hurt him in Job's life, but not hurt him. And so then if you're reading this, like one of the craziest like works of ancient literature, because Job's just like, bam, 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 this guy loses everything. Like, which is like, I don't even know what to do with that. I don't think most of us could have even weathered that storm. Right. Yeah. And he's distraught. But he's still like, worships God, you know, he's like, naked I came from the dust, naked I'll return, right, you know, the Lord's worthy of my worship. And then next thing, the Satan figure comes back, God is having this conversation with the accuser, and the accuser's still kind of like, hey, yeah, but like, you still protect him, he hasn't had to deal with basically like any health struggles, and then God gives him permission. Okay, you can't kill him, but you can inflict suffering.
Yeah,
you know. And so that's like, that's actually where I'm like at in the story as I'm reading through it. I'm like on Job, like 6 or 7 right now, and so now Job's starting to lament and stuff. But it was like, you know, so that's really interesting, because in that particular story, which is one of the oldest books in the biblical text, you don't see God there as the one doing the testing. You see the testing come from the enemy, but God permitting it, you know? And so I think one of the first things I kind of, it leaves me with is like, just like the verbiage of the, I think the heart cry of what this student is saying is really pure and really like good. I think the first thing that I kind of wrestle with is, you know, should we be asking God to test our faith, or is the enemy, is life circumstance and things like that gonna bring enough testing in and of itself, right? Yeah. Jesus said later on, now we're in the New Testament, but Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world. Take heart, I've overcome the world. He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say, hey, 50-50 shot, some trouble coming your way. You're going to have trouble. It's inevitable. And so that would be my first thing. And like I said, I just want to overemphasize that. If you're the student who asked this, that's watching this, I think your heart's like request is super pure in this. My first initial thought would be like, I want to be careful to ask God to test my faith, right? Because like one, sometimes we don't know what we're asking you know, when the tests start coming. And if you've been blessed enough at this point in your life, where many of many middle schoolers and even some high schoolers are at, if you've been blessed enough in life thus far to not have a ton of suffering, like that's not a bad thing, you know? And I love the compassion and the consideration to want to be able to identify with and empathize with what this person's friends are going through and wanting a real valid faith. Like I think all of that's really good and really noble and really pure. But testing will come at some point, and I don't know that you have to go knocking and looking for it. What do you thoughts? I mean, you hit me.
I think whenever I think about this question and the perspective of what I've gave, like, everyone has like their own testimony, and like it's like whenever you're asking this, it's like saying that your testimony is not good enough. But in reality, everyone's testimony is good enough, because you know everyone has a story to tell what God has done in their life. And if your story is to you know I never went through what you went through talking to your friend, but I can empathize with you and just like show the love that God has been showing me through this, and to sit with you and to give you comfort, like how God has been giving me comfort through my life. And so that's kind of like how I see like, yes, you're like, I don't want the student to think that their testimony is not good enough, because And so that's kind of like where my thoughts are going with this. So,
I always like, I'm a very like open-handed, like theologian, if you will. I don't say that word to like sound smart. I know there's a lot of better theologians in the world than me, but I have spent a lot of like my bulk of my life's work studying the text and stuff. So I just like to, I usually like to walk into a lot of this stuff like really open-handed with a stance that like I could be wrong. There's different perspectives, and just to kind of, you know, go the flip side. I think that's what I'm good with as like somebody who thinks through stuff. I like to try to hit things from different angles. You know, David actually cries out to God in the Psalms, in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. And he says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything offensive in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." Shout outs to Refresh. We just had a session just like all about that. Remember that? And but so there is a situation where we do have clear evidence that this person in his psalm and is crying out to God. He says, test me, but he's not really talking about his heart or his faith so much. He's talking about the thoughts and his heart's intentions. And I do think that is a very, I mean, it's obviously it's in scripture, but I think that's a very valid thing, because we do want to know, we do want to know and have God push us and convict us and form us to know what we're actually wanting and desiring in the deeper parts of our heart. So I'm more comfortable, I would be more comfortable with the prayer rather than like, God, like test my faith, mm-hmm. I would be more comfortable with the cry out and the prayer, God, test my heart.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's good. I want to know what's in there, so that I can follow you from a pure place.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a great answer to that question. Now, kind of like going the flip side of things, let's say I'm a student and I feel like I haven't gotten a break. I feel like God has been just throwing these things at me. I can't get a break from, you know, it just feels like I'm getting tested a lot in my life. How can I stay steadfast to my faith? I know, like, Joe, you just released a new poem about your 2024 experience. Mm. And what is something that maybe you can give like a testimony about on how you stayed steadfast through 2024, we can even say?
I mean, like, I'm your guest. I'm the one being interviewed and you asked me the question, so I'm willing to answer it. But I draw a lot of times on people like you. Mm. Like, you know, if we're answering this question on behalf of middle schoolers and high schoolers, I've been through my series of pain and stuff, and I'll share because you asked me to, but I mean, you lost your father at what age?
I think it was 9 years old.
9 years old, so even before you're a middle school student. And while you would look back at that and you would say, like, most awful thing I could have ever went through,
yeah,
you're still standing, you don't hate God, you're serving in a local church, you're literally giving your life to a call of ministry. And so I think I'm inspired by stories like your story or a lot of the stories that I've heard throughout the years just doing working with students, where I look at somebody who's experienced so much pain, so much loss, their parents were addicts, they've lost parents like you, maybe students who even had like aunts or uncles or parents who were murdered, just terrible, terrible things. And they still show up week in and week out and they haven't given up. And it's actually somehow made them closer to God, you know? So like I'll share my story of last year, but I think a lot of times I draw on other people and people even younger than me's stories because I'm like, man, I went through stuff as a teenager. I have my testimony. It's not less valid than yours, but seeing young people just with resilient faith is just like, I mean, it's probably one of the 3-4 pieces that's kept me in student ministry as long as I have been in, you know? Yeah. So I admire you in a sense, you know? James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And I don't know, I don't really enjoy reading parts of the Bible like that. I know it says consider it pure joy. I don't really enjoy it because there's always a part of me that's like, nah, suffering sucks.
Yeah.
You know? But I think what suffering does, I think you use the phraseology of like, what happens if it feels like all I'm doing is getting tested? Mm-hmm. Last year, the list keeps getting bigger because I keep remembering different doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think I had 51 Cleveland Clinic appointments.
That's crazy.
50, 51, plus a major surgery in Wisconsin to end the year, plus a follow-up. And then I forgot that I had shingles one time and I had to go to a different doctor. So like my running total right now, unless I somehow remember some others, is just doctor appointments for me was 54.
That's wild because I think last year for me, I probably went once.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have the time or the space to go into all of that. And then on top of that, my family went through a great level of suffering that wasn't just about my physical body, but about loss that we endured through a miscarriage. And so there's a lot of pain last year, a lot of suffering. And my kind of form, the poem you referenced is that's my way of releasing the pain, releasing the the ah, you know? Yeah. And but even before that, even when it was just the medical stuff, I remember like one time when a medical issue resurfaced that I hadn't dealt with and kind of like was a catalyst moment for a lot of the stuff I went through last year. I called my mentor and I was just in like tears and I was like, dude, I don't know why God just keeps letting me go through this. Mm. Like he knows it's like a damper on my life. He knows that it's impacting my quality of life, my ministry. I already have enough going on. I'm already busy enough and I have to make time for this. So like I kind of let God have it through yeah. venting to my mentor, you know? But I mean, if the Bible's true, which obviously I'm sitting here and believing yeah. that, or you wouldn't have me as a guest, something about that type of suffering produces perseverance. Hmm. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's almost a level to suffering, a level to testing, a level to pain that if you don't go through it, you can't be mature. You can't grow. And I don't know why that's got to be part of life. Like I know theologically, like I know the answers. Because we're a result of the fall. I could walk you through Genesis 1-3.
Yeah.
I get all that. Still in the midst of it, I don't know why it's got to be that type of suffering we go through, but there's yeah. something about it that I think drives us to our knees, mm-hmm. makes us ultra dependent on the Spirit of God and super dependent on other people and on the body of Christ.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think there's something there that produces a maturity in it where God shows up in our cracks. It's like Paul said, you know, three times he pleaded for this thing go away. And man, yeah. More than three times I've pleaded for some of my physical stuff to go away. And God shows up in this moment with Paul and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power's made perfect in weakness. Mm. And, yeah, there's just something there that makes us dependent and needy on God. And I think that's right where God as a father wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be ultra dependent on his presence.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I can like think of times just recently where I was facing a hard trial and like I just like felt, it's like if you felt like I was just like, I felt so helpless. And but like when I started to seek God, I was literally in the gym when I started, like I'm just like, I need like God, just like I'm just praying as I'm working.
You go to
out.
The gym
sometimes?
I would have never been able to tell.
But like as
the better question is, can anybody tell that I go to the gym?
I saw you at the gym at Refresh twice in a row. David even do that twice in a row.
I did it, man. I did it. Are you saying I'm tougher than David?
At some points, yeah.
David, if you're watching this, I'm not talking to you. I know that.
But like as I'm in the gym working out, I'm like seeking God and I just get overwhelmed with this feeling of like, wow, God is in this gym with me
mm-hmm.
as I'm like going through this heartache. And it's just like whenever we experience heartache and we start seeking God, you'll see him in like incredible ways. Like mm-hmm. I would have never thought like, oh, I feel like super close to God while I'm working out. Like, and it was just like an overwhelming amount of joy that hit me. I'm like, God, I like when I felt that presence, like I'm just like thanking God, like, wow, I know that during this heartache that how close you are. And it's just like totally like, it changed my perspective on that outcome that was, I was going through that, or that heartache I was going through. I'm like, wow, yes. Like, thank you, God. So.
Yeah. And I'd say the other thing is like, very rarely when I'm trying to reach lost people, and by very rarely, I mean never, am I leaning on all of my strengths mm-hmm. and all of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've done this. Hey, I've done this. Oh, I did A, B, and C in my life. And no, I'm usually saying, yeah, you know, this was some of my childhood experiences.
Mm. Yeah.
These are some of the things I've struggled with in my life. These are some of my sin patterns that I was like dealing with, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just this really powerful verse in Ephesians 5 where the Bible writer is talking about Paul once again. He's talking about light and darkness. And he drops this phrase, anything that is illuminated becomes a light. Anything that's illuminated becomes a light. And that's just really captivated me a few months ago. And then it's kind of been resurfacing lately. I've been thinking about that a lot. There's something so powerful about when the light comes into our pain, the light comes into our weakness, the light comes into our shortcomings, where that then becomes the light that we go out in our weakness to be wounded healers, as Henry Nouwen said, to dispense gospel hope to other people, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not parading my accolades when I'm trying to reach lost people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, dude, I was screwed up.
Yeah.
I was very lost. You know
what
I mean?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, for sure. Well, any closing comments, Joe? Thank you for being here. What do you got, anything to share or any last thoughts?
Yeah. Just another scripture I had jotted down. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so when you talk of testing, sometimes that idea of like, is God like tempting me, you know? Scripture's very clear on that. God allows us to be tempted. And a lot of times it's just the very things within us, is our own sinful desires that are just, you know, kicking and screaming for something contrary to the will of God. Or sometimes it's the enemy putting stuff smack dab in our face. And while God allows that, he doesn't cause that. God's not sitting there thinking like, oh, I'm going to drop this there and see how they do with that. You know, you know, especially for the person who's like, you know, I want to throw in the towel. I want to go back to my old ways because I keep getting hit with stuff, because I keep enduring suffering, because I keep losing friendships, or because my family is suffering and God hasn't answered my prayers. Just, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
Yeah.
And so he's faithful. He's with it. He's been with you in the immense suffering that you've faced in your journey, some suffering that you're even facing now, I'm sure. He's been with me in the immense suffering that I've faced. He can handle your pain. He can handle your questioning. Yeah. If you don't believe that, just read Job. Job, I think, has like 30 chapters of just, I have no idea if that's how many. I'm just, you know, Job goes off on God, like, give me an answer for this. You know what I mean? And so, and God eventually does. And Job's like, okay, I have no idea what I'm talking about. You know? And so, but like God's very patient with us and he can handle all of it. So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you for listening to our first podcast episode. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we're excited to continue to do these and to continue to answer your questions. We hope you have a great day and a great week, and hopefully we'll see you at the Runner Retreat. If it's not this year, and maybe the next year, you know, you should come out. All right. Thank you, guys.
Love y'all. Peace out.
Peace. That's Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yeah, it's Grace Youth.